Well, here we are. This is John McEwen, and I'm speaking to another John, John Jacoby. Is that how you say it, sir?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, when I heard about you, I went, oh my gosh, this guy might have some answers that a lot of people are looking for. And you go by Web Sheriff?
Basically, we have a company and agency called Web Sheriff, and we represent music artists as well as film companies right across the board, protecting their rights on the internet.
Now, why is it? Because people don't understand that. I've been in the music business 45 years. I think it took me 44 years to understand publishing, and I'm not sure I get it even now. But why is it something you need to protect? What happens?
Well, essentially, and as a very good example, these days, literally every album that is released will leak onto the internet, sometimes a few days, sometimes a few weeks, sometimes even a few months before release. So in the context where you have an album that's actually out there on the internet kind of weeks or months before release, if you do nothing about it, by the time it hits the stores, you've already lost half your sales or even more. So it's very important to kind of contain these leaks. And that's one of the kind of main things that we do, is kind of protecting new movies and new albums from pre-release leaks. Obviously, then once they're released as well, you need to kind of protect the actual sales of the album, because otherwise, once it's released and it's available online, again, people will just kind of rip it for free and, pirate it and so forth. So it's important to kind of contain it.
Some people...
a very good example of that. If I may, there's an artist, a young English artist called Adele, who is actually not only number one here in the UK, but actually number one in America.
What is the name?
Her name is Adele, A-D-E-L-E.
Uh-huh.
And she's a young kind of singer from London. And her current album, which is called 21, because she's 21 years old, it leaked before release here in the UK. Yeah. And we protected... Yeah, it leaked out onto the internet because someone got a hold of a copy early somehow and leaked it out. But even though it leaked early, we managed to kind of eradicate 99% of online piracies, with the result that when her album was released, not only did it go straight to number one in the UK, but her album actually outsold the rest of the UK top 10 combined.
Now, what people don't realize is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is you're allowing that young artist to actually eat, buy a house, or pay for a house, or get her car fixed so she can go play a concert, or hire somebody.
Absolutely.
Hire somebody. I mean, often people go, the movie companies, the record companies, they're rich, and they're not losing anything just because I happen to get this for free. But,
the piracy is taking money directly away from the artists, and not just the artists, but also the songwriters. And we don't just protect kind of major artists like, Dylan or Bryan Adams or whoever it may be. We also protect lots of other kind of smaller kind of fledgling artists who do actually kind of need the money for their livelihood.
John, or do I call you Sheriff or Web Sheriff?
John is absolutely fine.
Okay, I might think I'm talking to myself, but now the accent gives me away. It is like, how do you tell somebody that you've done that? Or do you just go after anybody? How does a musician sitting in Toledo or Tampa or Birmingham, England, get a hold of you or do that?
Essentially, we tend to be engaged by the artist management, because we're quite well known in kind of management circles. And so what they'll generally do is that they'll get in touch with us, hopefully before an album is kind of leaked. So in other words, kind of a month or two up front. So what we do is we then kind of prepare for the kind of the kind of leak and prepare for the release and have everything in place. So when it does leak, we're in a position to spring into action. And then one thing that we do actually do, kind of uniquely do, is we not just take care of anti-piracy on the internet, but we also do a lot of viral marketing. So anytime an artist comes to us or a record label comes to us with a new album, we'll say to them, listen, please give us two tracks that we can give to the fans that they can share and post online and share with all their friends and give it to us not only ahead of release but also even ahead of leak, because that way it serves a kind of dual purpose. So on the one hand, it actually promotes the album anyway because you have tracks in circulation that get a good buzz going. But then also when the album itself does leak, the way we approach it is instead of being like the RIAA who used to say to bloggers and people with websites, you know, take this down, we have a very different approach and a much more fan-friendly approach. So whereas in the old days you'd have the RIAA saying to bloggers and websites, you know, take this down or we'll sue you, what we actually do instead is we say, well, listen, we know you're a big fan. However, you should also know that you should not be posting this material, especially before release. But if you take it down, here's two tracks that you can share, and you can kind of share them thoroughly with all of your friends. And it's a much more friendly approach, and at the same time, it promotes the album. So it's, you know, we found that to be very successful, and it actually then engages bloggers and fans in the kind of pre-release marketing, which they actually kind of like and enjoy. So, you know, it's an inclusive approach as opposed to kind of, you know, hitting them with a big stick, which is what, you know, a lot of people do.
You're very passionate about this. I appreciate that. I'm curious, do you play music yourself?
Not as such, but in my whole kind of family background is actually in music. My late stepfather, who was actually American, he used to manage both Phil Spector and Leonard Cohen. In fact, he managed them both for 25 years.
Wow.
Until he died. So I have a kind of very much kind of music in my blood, shall we say. My whole background has always been music.
You grew up in the circus.
Indeed. Well, in fact, I remember very well that this will be seem funny to kind of kids these days listening to kind of MP3s on their iPods. But in the old days, I used to be at home as a kid, and my dad would come home from work, which would be in the studio with you know, management and bands, and he'd bring back like a big quarter-inch tape and spool it up on the Revox, and we'd listen to the latest demos of the bands that he was representing. So they were the good old days, right?
How fun.
In fact, I subsequently bought, I've got a reel-to-reel player myself that I have.
I have one. I think I'm going to sell it to a museum. But I'm curious, as I said, you're passionate about, I'm talking to John, the web sheriff, right now, and he's really into protecting artists, either loss of income or helping new songwriters and established ones not get ripped off by improper internet usage. But what led you to do this? Is this a profitable business for you? Are you doing it out of the kindness of your heart? You charge people and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
first of all, what where did you get the idea?
Well, funnily enough, how it first came about, I'm actually a music attorney, so I used to work for major record labels over here in the United Kingdom. So I used to work for RCA Records and Universal. And I then set up my own kind of independent kind of consultancy, taking care of record deals for artists and clients and so forth. And one of my clients back then, in fact, one of my clients to this very day, are the Village People, who are still going, believe it or not. And the Village People are still a multi-million-dollar-a-year business. Because the Village People are so easy to rip off, all you got to do is put on like a construction hat or an Indian headgear, and all of a sudden you're the Village People. And they used to get lots of imposters online, and this was in the very early days of the internet, and they were getting kind of fake bands, fake merchandise, fake music. So I said to the people who own all the rights to the Village People, I said, listen, you should really get some web watching service to kind of keep an eye on this for you, because if you don't, mm-hmm. you'll end up losing your rights, you know, because there's so many people ripping you off, and if you do nothing about it, you know, you'll kind of lose your entitlement. And then much to my surprise, there was actually no one doing that.
It sounds to me like you were delving into copyright infringement and likeness infringement and replication of style infringement.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, there wasn't really anyone doing it, so we thought, well, that's an interesting area to move into. And at the time, everyone used to call the internet the new Wild West. So we thought, well, who better to ride into town to sort it out than the web sheriff? And that's how it all came about.
Good for you.
So there you go. But you mentioned actually imposters there, and that's another issue that is very, very widespread these days. So you get it's so easy to set up an account on Facebook or Twitter or any of these major websites. I know
one of my good friends is Jennifer Warnes, the singer, the Oscar-winning singer.
I know Jennifer very well. She was one of Leonard Cohen's backing singers when I was a kid.
Right.
We used to go. Sorry, I'll let the police car go by. Jennifer Warnes was a backing singer for Leonard Cohen, and when my dad was his manager, and I used to be backstage with him.
Before the Blue Raincoat album, huh?
Yeah. So this is kind of way back. Well, actually, it was in '76. It was the Leonard Cohen's European tour or world tour, and it was Jennifer and also Laura Branigan. They were both his backing singers at the time.
Oh, neat. She told me there was a beach resort that had a song they were using in a commercial. Anybody that might have thought Jennifer was singing it would have been, anybody that heard it would have thought Jennifer, because they cloned the Officer
Her voice.
They cloned the Officer and a Gentleman song and told some singer, okay, now we got the track, sound like her. And she sued and got them to stop and won an infringement of style type of copyright, because she had a definite copyrightable sound. And it's akin to when John Fogerty left Creedence Clearwater, Fantasy Records had in their contract that he couldn't go out and sound like Creedence. It was an infringement of style. He couldn't go out and sound like John Fogerty. For 15 years, it was a problem. Now he doesn't. He's better than ever.
Do you ever get into that territory?
You say,
What we do. I mean, I say in the digital age, it's a big issue. You get people kind of setting up imposter accounts on Twitter and on profiles on MySpace, and then also on. You get a lot of stuff on YouTube, but we deal with YouTube an awful lot, and you get a lot of those kind of issues cropping up on YouTube as well. Although, if you want, I can give you a very good example of the work that we do on YouTube, because it's quite graphic, shall we say. But basically, one of our clients is Brian Adams, and he came to us a couple of years back with various internet issues, most of which I can't go into because they're confidential. But one of them, which he's happy for me to talk about, is YouTube. And at the time, Brian didn't have a YouTube channel. In fact, he just had some random videos of his on Universal's generic channel. And aside from that, his YouTube presence was just represented by literally tens of thousands of kind of pirated clips and bootleg clips and so on and so forth. And he was kind of dissatisfied with that because he thought he wanted to have a proper kind of focus for his music on YouTube and for his fans, so they would have somewhere to congregate and share his videos and ideas and so forth. So what we did, there was actually a channel called Brian Adams. It didn't have any Brian music on it, and luckily the guy who owned it wasn't called Brian and wasn't called Adam, so we managed to recover the channel for him pretty quickly, and then we actually set up an official Brian Adams channel. We then removed most of the videos off Universal Channel so as not to dilute what Brian was doing, and started creating content, kind of new content for his channel. Because the thing with fans, most fans will have seen a lot of his videos already, so what we did is we kind of re-edited a lot of his videos and did special edits of mixing up kind of the footage from different concerts together and different videos together. And then fans really liked that. So we started out with a kind of new channel. And that was the good news. The bad news was, at the same time, obviously we had literally tens of thousands of pirated clips to take down. We were very well aware at the time that this would upset people by pulling their videos down. So what we did with Brian's kind of approval is we actually engaged the fans directly on forums. So we posted on various forums, including Brian's website. And we said to the fans, listen, we're really sorry that we've had to pull down your videos, but please be patient because Brian has a new channel. There's going to be more content going onto it every week. And within a few weeks' time, it'll be the best Brian Adams video resource in the whole world. So just please be patient, and we thank you for your loyalty. And we didn't just kind of post once. We actually engaged the fan base in kind of dialogue and managed to kind of bring them a bit of something, I have to say. And so within a few weeks, we already had about 5 million kind of video views on Brian's channel.
It is your view and Brian's view that this helped both his music representation and
artistic, because Bryan Adams is a world known figure, and he's a great artist, also a painter. And,
Well, absolutely. Well, I mean, kind of fast forwarding the story, should we say, to the current day, Bryan now on his channel has over 170 million video views on his channel.
Wow.
So, you know, in the last kind of year and a half. So, you know, that's proven that it's been successful. So what's being created now is a kind of resource for not just for Bryan, but for more importantly for his fans. And his fans are obviously very happy because, you know, they've got a place where they can see quality videos from Bryan. It also links into his website and links into a download store that we set up for him on his website. You know, which is kind of very pioneering because very few artists have their own download stores directly off their website.
Oh, that's great. So what you're doing overall is you're setting up the, it sounds to be like you related it to the Western town. Well, the town was built and you're building the right store. You're not just scattering the stuff out on the street. You're putting everything in one spot, easy to find, and protecting the people that own it.
Sure. Yeah, and in fact, what we're doing is we're not just, getting rid of piracy just for the sake of it. So it's not a scorched earth policy. But what we're doing is getting rid of kind of third-rate unofficial content and actually replacing it with first-rate official content. You know, it's
getting
something back.
I'm talking with a man that goes by the name Web Sheriff. John is his name, John the Sheriff. And your last name again is, how do you say it?
Jacoby.
And how do you say it in England?
Over here, they say Jacoby.
Jacoby?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing that what you're doing, you're not just standing in Trafalgar Square yelling about it and trying to get heard, but you are getting heard. But how do people find you?
But most of our clients hear about us through word of mouth on the grapevine in the music industry. So I say we've represented all sorts of clients, people, everything from Michael Jackson and Prince through to Bob Dylan and Van Morrison, Bryan Adams. So there's all sorts of artists we've been involved with. So, you know, people hear about us on the grapevine.
Is there an artist too small? You mentioned Adele in England, a new artist. Are you getting inundated, or is there a certain criteria for people that need your service?
No, I mean we kind of protect artists of all kind of shapes and sizes, so to speak. So it's not just about helping kind of superstar artists, but also helping kind of new artists get off the ground. Because obviously in the very early days of a band, the internet is a very important marketing tool. So it's important that they have exposure on the internet. But also a point in time comes where if there's too much piracy, then you know it basically kind of steals money away from the band, and they're not able to develop or record their next album, or so on and so forth. So it's important to kind of find the right balance between, on the one hand, kind of having a certain amount of content that the fans can actually enjoy and share to promote records, but obviously not letting, giving everything away for free, because then at that point, you know, the music business kind of wouldn't exist anymore if everything was free. Yeah.
I remember standing in the office in New York at Columbia Records one afternoon in the late 70s, and the guy running the department says, oh, it's about time for, oh, yeah, there's his call. Paul Simon would call in every Friday and say, how many albums did I sell? Okay, good. and the guy would say, that if it was a good number, that would mean now he's going to build the new back porch or put in a pool. it was easier to track them. So if it had been today, before the Web Sheriff came along, Paul Simon would call in and say, so how much did I make this week? And they'd say, well, about $6, but there's 800,000 people that got your album.
Exactly.
And he'd be trying to pay for his double wide. Do you know what a double wide is in England?
No, what is it?
It's one of those wide trailers that are twice as wide.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot where you were. But thanks to you, people can get the just returns for their years of work.
Sure. And another thing, actually, that especially for you as a kind of artist who's been, performed so widely as well, but one of the things that we do is in relation to bootleg recordings, because we've obviously had to kind of, we've taken down a lot of bootleg recordings for certain artists, but we don't just do it for the sake of it. We we're doing, like, for example, again with Bryan Adams, we're actually going to be setting up Bryan Adams concert vault. So basically the best of the bootlegs will actually be available on Bryan's website, and some of them will be available as streams, kind of free of charge off the front of the website, and then if people want the full concert, they'll be able to kind of download it for like a couple of dollars or whatever, you know, off the download store. So again, it's actually kind
of... Is his photography going to be available also? Well, that's all good to hear. I thought he was doing a lot of classic photography also now.
He does a lot these days with top magazines, you know, Vogue and Elle and so on and so forth. He's become a leading fashion photographer.
Spare
time. I don't know how he finds the time to do it, but he does.
The music thing is easy, John. It just takes, you know, you only have to play an hour a day. That's it. I'm kidding. People don't realize that when you're a performing musician, you usually work 22 hours a day so you can go, you usually spend 22 hours a day so you can go out and play for two.
Exactly.
and for some reason, it's worth it. But thanks to you and Web Sheriff, it's going to be more possible to do that. And is there anything you'd like to tell people directly about what you're doing? Tune you in, check you out?
Basically, one thing I would say is, to an extent, sometimes we'll be controversial insofar as we do remove stuff from the internet, and you get a lot of people who are upset by that. Obviously, by the same token, thankfully, you get a lot of people and fans who respect that and who respect artists' rights. But the main thing I'd say about that is that, you know, at the end of the day, kind of music is, you know, an artist's kind of baby, it's their creation. And so, therefore, at the end of the day, it should be their decision as to kind of how and when and where it's available online. So you have some artists who are kind of very liberal, should we say, people like Radiohead, and that they take a very kind of laid-back view, and they're very happy often for people to share their music free online. And then you have other artists, like Prince, for example, who takes a contrary view. But again, at the end of the day, it's his music, so people should respect that fact and respect his right to be able to protect it if he wants to.
You're helping do that. Kind of, thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, they're all different kind of spectrums of opinion, you know, across the artistic community, should we say. And I think it's just important that people online appreciate that and then respect that.
I was going to say, I think people that are accessing music of various things online and want to know more about what that involves, this is a comment for musicians that may be listening or songwriters. You better check out Web Sheriff. It's part of what's out there going on. And I'd like to... Thanks for letting me chat with you and stuff. I look forward to telling people about you.
With Jennifer, please pass on my regards.
Phil LaBelle or you. I got your email now.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a small world with the with you knowing Jennifer Warnes and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a point of contact somewhere along the line. Yeah?
It does seem that way sometimes. And I look forward to maybe we'll have lunch in Trafalgar Square area sometime. I like to stay in that area when I go to England.
Indeed. And thank you, above all, for taking the time to speak with me as well. It's an absolute honor for someone of your stature and background to, if you ever get the chance, you should have a listen to the banjo solo on Del Amitri's Kiss the Thing Goodbye. It's kind of British bands doing banjo music at its best.
Well, I think I sent you an email. Send me, copy me on that if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm not
where
I can do that.
Copy on YouTube.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely.